Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today Our Lady offers to the Heavenly Father a heavenly present. She offers her Son to Him. She presents Jesus in the temple as a present given back to God the Father on our behalf. This feast of the presentation of the Lord in the temple unites together two Mosaic laws which our Lord and Our Lady faithfully fulfilled. One was the law regarding purification of a Hebrew mother after she had given birth, that was prescribed in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, chapter 12. The other law concerned the ransom of the firstborn male child, and that goes back to the book, Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 13. Today's liturgical feast also dates to at least the 4th century, and it was begun in Jerusalem. The original name of the feast was a Greek name. It was Epapante. It literally means in Greek, the encounter, referring to Jesus' encounter with Simeon in the temple. In the West, the feast was called by its Latin name, Accursus Domini, has the same meaning as the Greek. It means the encounter of the Lord. It was then liturgically called the Feast of the Purification of Mary, and in the most recent liturgical form, has received the name of the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. So this feast is both a feast of our Lord and of our Blessed Mother as well. Today being the 40th day after the birth of our Lord, which we celebrate on December 25th, the Mosaic Law said that the mother of the child, for her purification, had to offer in the temple a lamb or two doves or pigeons as a sacrificial offering. But it's not so much Our Lady who was purified by our Lord's presentation in the temple. First reading from the book of Malachi hints at this when it says that, quote, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and he will purify the sons of Levi, referring to the priestly class of Hebrews. That's in Malachi 3, verse 3. The Gospel also hints at this as well when St. Luke writes, when the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, etc. Luke 2, verse 22. So if the purification, strictly speaking, was for the woman here, then St. Luke would have said the days were completed for her purification, not for their purification. In truth, we know Our Lady had no need of purification because she was undefiled, because our Lord was born in a miraculous way, not only conceived miraculously, but also born miraculously, not in the normal way of childbirth. And so some commentators interpret St. Luke's phrase, their purification. They say that refers more to the purification of the people of Israel and also of the temple itself. So properly speaking, again, Our Lady wasn't purified because she didn't need to be, but she also cooperated with our Lord in helping him to purify the people of Israel and helping him to purify the temple by presenting him to the Lord in the temple in today's feast. The second aspect of the feast was the ransom of the firstborn male child, which comes from the book of Exodus. That word ransom means the redemption of a prisoner or a slave or a kidnapped person for a price. Or it means the sum of the price paid or demanded for their release. The ransom of the firstborn male child was in remembrance, if you remember in the Old Testament, it was in remembrance of the last plague to strike the Egyptians at the time of Moses, the plague of death upon the firstborn male child, where every firstborn male in Egypt was slain by the sword, by the angel of death, but every Hebrew child was spared. And remember that they were spared how? Because there was the sprinkling of the blood of the lamb above the lintels of the dwellings of the Hebrew families. When the angel of death saw the blood of the lambs on the doorposts, on the doors of the Hebrews, he passed over their houses, literally. That's where we get the name of the Feast of the Passover from. So the firstborn Hebrew male was from then on offered to God in the temple as exclusive property in remembrance of the escape from Egyptian slavery. The firstborn was offered to God and then was immediately restored to his parents. So the animal sacrifice offered for the mother's purification and the presentation of the firstborn male child were historic and symbolic gestures expressing God's salvific action towards his people with whom he had established his covenant relationship. These were actions which expressed his saving action for the people of Israel and for us, we could say, by extension. The candles which are traditionally lit during today's liturgy are in memory of what the prophet Simeon said of the child Jesus when he received him into his arms, calling Jesus a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for the people of Israel, as we heard in today's gospel, Luke 2, verse 32. And for those of us who have eyes to see, we also see the co-redemptive action of Our Lady in today's feast. Our Lord was first offered to God here in the temple by the hands of Our Lady, and lastly, she offered him to the Father for us on Calvary, where after his death, our Lord, if you remember, he once again rested in the arms of his mother. We can even say that just as Our Lady carried Jesus into the temple today, so too she carried him away from the cross 33 years later on Calvary. Those two moments in our Lord's life even remind us of a story in the gospel, the story of the man who was carried, the paralytic who was carried by other men to Jesus in order to be healed. And Jesus healed the paralytic because he saw the faith of the men who were helping him, and so he cured them. So too, our Heavenly Father, we can say that he looked down upon Our Lady and healed us, in part because of the tremendous faith that she had in God when she brought Jesus to these two places of sacrifice, the temple here today and also to the place of sacrifice on Calvary. And add to that faith and love for Christ the sword of sorrow that Simeon prophesied to Our Lady. If you add that, you begin to understand why many saints have invoked Our Lady as the co-redemptrix. And as a side note, we note that the sword of sorrow promised to Our Lady actually became an immense treasure of joy for her. Why is that? Because through those sorrows, she actually gave birth to us, her spiritual sons and daughters. So let's thank not only God, our Heavenly Father today, but let's also thank our Heavenly Mother for the tremendous love with which she has loved us, offering Jesus to the Father here today in the temple and also offering him there on Calvary for our sake. Jesus and Mary literally loved us unto death. So let's ask them for the grace to love them in return and to make of us a present fit for our good Heavenly Father. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.